and welcome to the Book Club Haters Book Club,
a podcast where we discuss the books we love and otherwise. I'm Noor.
And I am Tia, and we've been gone for months.
Hello, and truly, truly welcome. Welcome back.
Welcome to me, welcome to you, and welcome to the people listening.
Still listening.
Yes, I hope so.
Let's just get right to it, where like we admit that neither of us actually finished the book that we were supposed to read.
What book was it? I'm kidding. I know what it was.
Going on my phone just like to Google it to just remember the title.
It was the number one Devabat book.
The City of Brass. It was the City of Brass. Oh my god.
I was like, Empire of Brass.
Me too. I was like, Kingdom. Not yet, Kingdom. City first.
Yes, correct. Cool. So I'll admit, I read like maybe a quarter of it and then I stopped because life got in the way.
Mm. Similarly, I read like a few chapters. I don't remember where I stopped. And then also life got in the way. Like 5 months. I'm 5 months in the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you moved houses.
I moved houses. So. That's right. Yeah. I was like, what happened in the 5 months? Bitch, I moved houses. Mm.
It was okay. First of all, we were like, we're not going to record because it's Hari Puasa. Mm-hmm. And we realized, oh, Hari Raya kind of fell in the first half of the month. So when are we going to do that? Because we won't have time to record. And it's true. I was so busy. Mm-hmm. And then you moved.
Yeah, and then I moved.
And then all shits happen around you. And then I traveled for like a month. And now we're here.
We're finally here. And actually, like, today is actually the first time we've talked with each other since then. I mean, like, in, like, voice talks, right?
Yes.
We only talk when we record. This is our friendship. This is our way of maintaining our friendship, basically.
It's fine. I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it, too. I think, like, honestly, I think it's one of the best ways to have like some sort of commitment. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's not a burden or anything because I do enjoy this with you. Like I miss like just talking about books with you in person, but this is like the next best thing with what we have right now.
I miss you too.
So sad.
I'll admit that I haven't really been reading that much. I read like maybe two books. Well, three, including the book club book.
What did you read?
I have to open Goodreads for the first time in like months.
5 months.
5 months.
So you did track it?
No.
So why do you have to like open Goodreads?
Because I did put some of them on there. Oh! All of them. I just realized, like, no, actually, I read two comics. Mm. I read City of Brass for like a quarter of it, and then I'm reading a book right now.
But what are they?
That's all. we haven't done this in ages. I don't feel comfortable talking about books for some reason.
Talking about books on a book podcast, like it's really hard.
It's been a while. So I read a book called The Arrival by Sean Tan. Mm-hmm. That's a graphic novel. It has no dialogue whatsoever.
What?
It's basically about it has no dialogue. It is amazing. So it's a depiction of an immigrant's experience. And it has a lot of alien influence around it, the immigrants and stuff. It's really hard for me to describe what it is because it's such an odd book, but the drawing was so beautiful. It was so pretty.
It's so interesting and how a story can be told without words. I mean, I'm sure that was how like it was done like in before those silent films, you know. Mm-hmm. But this is like a silent comic.
Silent films have those things at the bottom. I can't English today.
Subtitles.
Subtitles.
Dear God. Can English? Can Malay? Malay can?
What subtitle in Malay?
I also don't know. Dear God.
You see my problem is. Anyway, but yeah, the book itself is just, I guess, it makes really good use of panel work. Mm-mm-mm. In that every drawing is like a movement. Mm. Yeah, so it's really beautiful, and I think it won awards and stuff. The drawings is amazing.
How long is it?
It's not that long. It's a really short graphic novel. Mm. Mm. 132 pages, apparently, according to Goodreads.
Honestly, I think that's a lot.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right. It uses a lot of panels and stuff, and it has a lot of aliens and creatures in it. Basically, telling stories about how the immigrant experience and moving to other countries and stuff like that. It's really pretty.
I think I'm going to check that out.
It is pretty. Yeah, I should. I can probably send you the book if I can be bothered to go to the post office.
That would be expensive. Can we just, like,
yeah, well, you're my
like
friend.
Say on like on the podcast, like on the record, I would say, like, I tried to send you your book, right? And like it cost, I don't remember, but like it was
50
like
$50 or something.
No, I think it was 80.
Oh, was it?
Oh my God. It was like $80 for a $30 book that was like less than a kilo in. So it was less than a kilo.
Yeah, it's really light.
So they so they made it like a kilo price, you know, the price to send a kilo. It was like $80 to go to fucking Australia. Mm. Like, what the fuck? DHL.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Maybe you shouldn't DHL. Maybe you should use the other one.
FedEx?
What is it, FedEx? Is that better?
You said FedEx is no good in your area.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true, because we don't have FedEx here. You're right. Yeah. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe just normal posts should be fine.
Yeah. It'll take like a few months, but it'll get here at least.
Okay. Well, the book is called The Arrival, so literally the arrival of the book.
The arrival of the book.
Yeah. Another comic that I read is an Umbrella Academy comic, which is called You Look Like Death, which follows the story of my favorite Umbrella Academy member, which is Klaus.
Can you just like explain just, like what the heck Umbrella Academy is? I feel like I see people like talking about Umbrella Academy, but like I don't understand what it is.
One day in 1987, I think, I can't remember, out of nowhere, women who are just going about their day are suddenly 9 months pregnant.
Oh.
And then the fuck? Yeah, just like random women all over the world. And then they deliver the babies on the day itself because they're already 9 months pregnant. And these babies have supernatural gifts.
Okay.
So, this man called, I can't remember his first name, but it's basically Mr. Hargreaves. He decided to collect these kids and he managed to get, I think, 7 of the kids. Mm-hmm. And he, basically like X-Men, he trained them to use their power to fight crimes and stuff like that. But the series itself is not just about the superpowers. It's also about the trauma that Hargreaves instilled on these kids as adults. Yeah, I really like it. I like the trauma of it.
So it explores it quite well, do you think?
I don't know. They don't. I think for some characters, they do the trauma very, very well. Mm-hmm. But because they're, 7 characters, they don't really explore, like, it's Gerard Way. He doesn't really explore the trauma as well for some characters, but maybe for others he does. Like Klaus, for instance, the way he deals with the trauma, because he can see dead people and he can manipulate dead people to move and navigate around in the real world.
Okay.
His way of dealing with trauma is drug use. Whereas the others don't really deal with the trauma at all. They're really bad at it. In a way, Klaus is quite bad at it if he's using drugs, right? So yeah, I really like it. I think like Gerard Way wrote this not really to explore the trauma from an adopted father. It's more, it's just, oh, it's really cool to do this. Oh. In a way, it is kind of cool. I don't think it's the best comics in the world. I think it has a lot of plot holes. Mm. And I think, I feel like I've read it so many times, but I feel like there's still a lot of stuff that I still don't understand about it. Mm. So I don't know. If it just like as a simple concept, I think it's a lot of fun. Mm. But not necessarily, like, I don't think you're necessarily going to understand everything that is they're trying to communicate in the comics.
Okay. Yeah. But it's just, like, a fun thing to read, I suppose.
For me, it's fun. It is. For me, it's a lot of fun. But I remember reading it, like, before I left Brunei, and I was like, it's not funny or anything. It's just very dark in some ways.
It's interesting.
Mm. Yeah, I mean the comics are in my house if you want to grab it.
Okay.
the shelves are available to you, and I'm sure my mom would let you in. So
I'm sure as well. It's just like, yeah. I kind of think of, like, right now I've been thinking of books that are kind of like the Fast and Furious series, where, you know, it's like. Mm. Kind of silly, like, it's running a bit too long, and but you're along for the ride because it's kind of fun and
interesting.
It doesn't have to be a cinematic masterpiece. It just has to be a lot of fun. And I think, like,
that's the Marvel films for me.
Yeah, basically. Yes, I think so as well. Other than like the Thor Ragnarok one, which I thought was like a cinematic masterpiece and also super fun and silly, you know.
Yeah, it's only a masterpiece to me because it's just so funny.
It's just so funny. I agree. I think, like,
it's just so dumb.
Yeah. Because the Fast and Furious series, it's not funny. Mm-hmm. It's just there to fill your time, but I don't honestly feel like my time would be wasted if I watch a Fast and Furious film. And I think, like, that's how I approach, like books these days. Mm. I'm just like,
yeah.
I just want to fill my time.
Now that you mention it, I remember when I was younger and how I would try to read classics and stuff like that. And I just wasn't really into it, but I was like, oh, I have to read this because everyone says it's going to be good for my brain. It's going to be good for my way of thinking, etc. I never enjoyed any second of reading those shit.
What classics have you read?
Oh, God. I don't want to shit on them, first of all. Okay, I just want to say that.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't want to point out what they are, because maybe it does mean that I am an uncultured swine and I'm fine with that. But at that point in time, I would much prefer to read young adult books. That's about, like, women trying to fight governments.
I mean, same. Like, I was, like, reading fantasy stuff and young adult novels. Like, that didn't really, like, make a dent, I would say, in, like, the literature, quote, you know, the air quotes world. But, like, it was fun. It was like it engaged with my mind, but not necessarily the mind of like a 30-something-year-old white man. But
correct.
Yeah, and I think I've carried that forward to until now, where reading is like a more of a safer space for me to be whatever I damn well please, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's also part of the reason why I find fiction very difficult to read these days. But first of all, like, it's also because I don't know where to slot reading into my schedule anymore, because
she busy.
Yeah, I'm not busy. I'm prioritizing other things.
Fair.
But I've been, but the thing is, I am able to read nonfiction much faster because it's just very clear. I don't have to imagine stuff. And it's just very direct to the point. And I really, that's why I feel like lately I've just been making my line towards nonfiction, usually whenever I enter bookstores.
Interesting.
Yeah. But also, like, there's so many choices in fiction and I don't know how to pick anymore because I don't know what appeals to me anymore because, like, I'm over the YA thing.
You've aged out, do you think?
Yeah, because, but also because they're not writing those kind of stories anymore because the industry has phased out those kind of stories now. Because I used to read, what, like, Hunger Games and stuff like that and I really enjoyed them. But I don't know what the fad is right now when it comes to YA either, because it's just, there's just so, even like, I think there's a lot of controversy around YA these days. I've also unfollowed a lot of people, a lot of the authors in YA. Mm. So I don't really know what's good or anything like that or what's bad. And I don't know what in fiction I should be reading or what in fiction is appealing to me. I'm reading, it is 11 o'clock. It's one here.
Sorry. Forgot to mute my laptop.
It's fine. But I know, like, I'm still reading East Asian literature. Not a lot, but I am still very drawn to those kind of stories. Mm. And I'm reading nonfiction stuff. So
what are you reading that's nonfiction?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. I'm reading a book by Angela Saini. I think when we first started recording the podcast, I read a book called Inferior by her, which is about women's bodies and in medical and in science.
Yeah.
Right now I'm reading her book called Superior, The Return of Race Science.
Ooh.
Which, yes,
that sounds heavy.
Here's the thing, it is heavy, I won't deny that, but the thing, she writes it in such a precise way and in such, she writes so fucking well. Like, there are elements of anger in her voice whenever she's writing stuff, but it doesn't come off as angry, and she writes it so well, and it's such layman's term. Yeah, she does such an amazing job at it. Basically, she writes a lot about eugenics and about racial difference and how after World War II, there were a lot of scientists who believe race science still exists, and how they were angry because people don't want to fund race science anymore, but they were convinced that there's science backing what they're saying, like, you know, the difference in this kind of ethnicity and that kind of ethnicity, white and everyone else, basically. And they were convinced it's scientific, because they were not, a lot of them were not getting fundings anymore. They start getting funding from people who were white supremacists.
I mean, that was the next logical solution, right?
Exactly. And the thing is, they're desperate for funding. So they keep writing a lot of these things saying that, yes, there is white supremacy. There is supremacy to whiteness. And because they're not getting peer reviewed properly from, like, scientists who are getting funding elsewhere from, like, universities and stuff like that, it attracted this, like, group of people who are into the idea of white supremacy. But the thing was, the people, like, some of the people who are writing these things, they don't believe that, you know, white supremacy in a social setting exists. They think white supremacy is biological. Okay. So it's just really complicated they're like, there is science to this, but they're being drawn, but they're drawing people who are into the idea of white supremacy. So it's just really, in a way, back then it was complicated, but now I don't think it's that complicated anymore because there's enough science to back that there's no such thing. It's super interesting and it's insane to read. Like, I was reading this in the plane and I was just like, it was just trying to, like, mangampas the plane and stuff. Like, I was just so angry. It's really good. Like, she's such an amazing writer, and she's an amazing writer. And I think I'm pretty sure I asked you to read her last book, Inferior.
Yeah, you did.
I think this one is, this one is just as good. It's fucking incredible. She's such an incredible writer.
I'll get to it when I care to.
Yeah, I know. It's not, I know you like to listen to these things rather than read
them. Yeah, I do. I do. And I'm very glad that like people around me like to read these things and like, explain them to me.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Anyway, what about you?
I have been reading a lot of romance and like not just like...
No shit.
When I say like a lot, I'm not even saying like, oh, I read 10 books. Bitch, like in one day last week, mm-hmm. I read 4.5 books one day.
You are amazing.
I was just
You're like my hero.
I don't even know. Like, so that was like one day, 4 books. And then because I was kind of sick last week, so I kind of read like minimum a book a day. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and that was that just last week. And then the week before that, I read a book a day a week as well. I don't track my reading anymore, and I think I've read over like almost 50, I would say, I think is accurate.
Question.
Yeah.
How do you keep track of what you're reading?
I don't.
Right. Interesting.
I just like, this is the thing with me right now. I'm like, wait, have I read this one before? Because, okay, so what?
Yeah.
Right now, I'm in a historical romance phase where I'm just reading all of the Regency romances. So romances mm-hmm. set in the Regency period. So I'm like, all of them have like very similar covers because it's a subgenre, because that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, and all of them have like the same sort of title formulation where like the Duke who seduced me or something like that, or like the baby, the baby... I don't know, something, like the Earl of Deviousness. I don't know, but anyway.
Oh my God.
All of them are quite similar. Names. No, they're super funny. I love them.
I know, they're terrible in a laughable way.
Yeah, yeah, that's the point of them, actually.
I love it.
And then, like, so I'm like, wait, did I read this? And then, like, I would kind of mix up the... A lot of them have, like, similar names. Obviously, like, how many white people names are there, you know? Not a lot. And
like, 4.
Like four. So, like, Robert, Christian, all of those things. So I'm like, whenever a character would mention, like, a Robert, I'm like, wait, is this connected Which to one? That book? Like, and then I'm, like, going through, and I'm like, oh, wait, no, they're different authors. They're just this very similar people, Roberts, who happen to be Dukes, you know?
Oh.
It's quite like I kind of got everything kind of jumbled up in my head, but because I don't track them, it's quite fun anyway, because I end up with this like a Regency cinematic universe in my head.
Oh, I love it.
That doesn't
I love it so much.
It doesn't necessarily make sense in real life, like it's not real, but uh-huh. like in my head this is how it works.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. You have your own world.
Yeah, so I'm actually quite glad, like, not having Goodreads anymore. Mm. I think I read more.
No, I don't. Ah, I mean, that probably has nothing to do with each other, though. Does it?
I don't know. That's true. I probably, they probably don't, but.
Oh, I'm asking because I don't. Keep track. Well, I just did. I just put Superior onto my Goodreads. But I'm wondering, since we're going to start recording again, how am I going to keep track of my reading?
That's true, right? So we have to talk about the books that we actually read.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well,
because like right now, if you ask me what I've read, I'm like, I read.
I mean, I guess.
I don't know.
We can... Well, you read like 50 books the last 2 weeks, so it doesn't really matter. I guess we can discuss stuff that stands out to us.
Stands out to me hard, yo.
Well, not necessarily this Regency period that you're going through, because, but you did say that you created a world in your head, and I really like that, so.
How do I don't know how to explain that to you.
You already did. I understand it. Okay, no, okay. I mean, you don't have to explain it to me. You don't have to explain everything to the recording and stuff like that. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. I think like one of the things that I kind of like don't know how to go about in this podcast is like, how do I explain how I read romance mm-hmm. to people who don't understand the genre? Or kind of like I guess it would be the same if I primarily read fantasy, but if like say you don't really read as much fantasy, then you wouldn't like truly get the little subtle things that make fantasy what it is, right? Or the subgenre of fantasy.
I get what you mean.
Yeah. So I've always been like, I read romance, I read historical romance. But if I say like,
no,
I read a lot of the mainstay authors like Lorraine Heath and Lisa Kleypas, like you wouldn't like get what I mean and like what they mean, like to say those names, right?
Mm-hmm. But doesn't that create a more nuance to our discussion?
I suppose so.
I guess like you and I read different stuff and we're friends or whatever.
We are still friends despite those things.
Despite our differences.
And they are hard, no. But here's what I think though. Like something that I I did some research into this because why won't I? About this Regency period is that the historical romance, the world that how people write historical romance is actually, there is some basis to like the actual historical facts, but the world of historical romance is actually based more on like, I think like higher or someone like another romance author like from the olden days of like 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like they made a certain kind of Victorian Regency era culture, and then that kind of permeated throughout the subgenre.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how,
oh my god,
what we know now as like his Regency romance is actually based on a single author's world.
Yeah That is really interesting, isn't it?
I wonder, like, how, if that happens in other genres. And I think that does happen, like, with vampires and stuff, right?
I think the Discworld series, for instance, by Terry Pratchett, has had a fuckload of influence on fantasy. I know that much because he wrote, I don't know how many tens of those books. And
they're shit quite ton.
Well loved. He did, yeah. And they're quite well loved, so... I'm sure fantasy had a lot of influence. Fantasy as it is today has a lot of influence derived from those books.
Right. I think it makes sense also because like if you're a writer and like obviously if you love a genre, you would read that genre, right? And then And then of course you would find inspiration from that genre and take on what you think is like the best parts of that genre and make it into your own book.
Mm.
So that would make sense.
Mm. I guess it's also one of those things where people, I guess just the everyday person who reads fantasy and how they integrate that into everyday discussions and stuff. And like just kind of the idea of like fae and fairies and whatever and how it goes into like everyday discussion and we just kind of get it.
It becomes like a part of the norm. Mm.
Yeah, everyday vernacular.
Vernacular, that's it. I was like, what is that called? Yes.
Yes.
Correct. You're so smart.
Thank you. You sound so condescending.
No, but you are really smart.
I know you're not. I know you're not, but it did. It did because the sound from my phone connecting to yours is very shoddy, so it just sounded like you're being very sarcastic. No. But you're being sarcastic from the 80s.
From the 80s.
Yeah. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about? Because I am hungry and I want to get lunch soon.
No, but we haven't decided what book we're going to read. So wait, have we decided that we're going to read the Helen Huang book for October?
Yeah, but we're doing that for October. So that's going to be well. Yeah. I guess we don't have to have anything for next month. We can just come back in and just get into the groove of things.
Yeah, we need to get used to it again, I suppose. I miss reading like stuff like The Body Is Not an Apology. I thought that was like, I kind of want to read something like that again.
Ooh, do you?
Yeah.
What, specifically about body politics or?
Maybe, yeah. Mm. But not like necessarily like the whole politics of like, I want it to relate more to like the individual and less about like government stuff, you know?
I see what you mean. Yeah. No, I see what you mean.
Let's have a look around.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, sure. I can also do that if you remind me.
I feel like you would know better than I would do.
I would. No, you're right. I would know better. And if you remind me, I can have a look around.
Okay.
For sure. I'm sure there are books out there that would pique both of our interests.
Yes. So that's our goal for next month, to find that book.
Yes. I will try to find that book.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We're back.
Ish.
Yeah, I'm going nowhere for the next 6 months, so I think we are back for good.
I am also not going anywhere, except for maybe KB.
Great.
Oof.
How exciting.
How exciting. Maybe Tutong.
We have a lot of Delta variants here. We can't do that shit.
Okay. All right. Follow us on Book Club Haters, our mothership, Songkit Alliance, and songkitalliance.com. And see you next time.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.